the service tonight. Grab your songbooks. We'll sing page 325. 325, Trust and Obey is where we are. Stand if you would, we'll sing that together. 325.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey. Shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no to trust and obey.
Verse number 4.
But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows. Obey, trust and obey.
A good job singing. Lift it up, verse number 5.
And then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no trust and obey.
Back towards the front of your songbooks to page 20. Page 20. When I see the blood, I will pass over here. We'll sing the first and the last verse. Page 20.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive Him need never fear. Yes, He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love, Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who believe are saved from the storm. Oh, He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Good singing. Remain standing. Brother Matt, come pray for us tonight, please.
Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to come to Your house and to worship You, Lord, for You are a good God and You are worthy of our praise. We pray that You just be with every aspect of the services tonight. We pray that You be with the singing and pray that You be with Pastor as he teaches us from Your word about the life of John the Baptist. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Gone are the days of wandering in life's wilderness, searching for peace of mind but finding distress. Until sweet Jesus found me, I was lost deep in sin, and He gave me assurance and a true peace within. I know that I'm forgiven.
child reading. He has settled my weary soul. I am now happy that my Lord's in control. I am singing the anthem. I am saved, yes, by grace. And what joy, hallelujah! My sins are, they are erased. I know that I'm forgiven, you see. No longer in shackles, I am finally free. Oh, the blood of the child reading, and I know that I'm forgiven, you see. No longer in shackles, I am finally free. Oh, the blood of the Lamb rewrote who I am, and now I'll tell it wherever I go. Grace has covered me, I'm a child reading.
Praise the Lord for that special tonight. Let me welcome each one of you to our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time right here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. What a blessing it is here, another opportunity on Wednesday nights to assemble ourselves together. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us this evening. Maybe there's somebody visiting with us for the very first time tonight. We always like to acknowledge our first-time visitors by getting a visitor's packet into your hand. And so if that's you, if you just raise your hand, the ushers will bring that around to you. Anyone visiting tonight that needs a visitor's packet? All right. Well, it's good to see those just being faithful here to the Wednesday night services. A couple announcements for you. If you've not picked up one of the church bulletins, I always want to encourage you to get one of those. A lot of things taking place as we're moving into the month of May. And this is the last day of April, and then we'll get right into the month of May. A lot of things taking place. We have a youth rally here at the church. Junior high school youth rally is this coming Friday night. And they're having an activity afterwards. It's going to be late into the night, so they're not starting the rally till an hour later. And so it's 8 o'clock, and we're hosting it here at the church. And so parents, be aware of that. The youth rally actually begins at 8 o'clock on this coming Friday night. So if you have any questions about that, you can see one of the youth leaders. They can help you with that. And then let me see. They're getting ready for the mother, daughter, and friend luncheon. And so if you haven't purchased your tickets for that, you need, there's a table there in the foyer. You can stop by and pick up your tickets for that. But that's coming up. They have a ladies' work night this Thursday night. And then starting Sunday, Brother Hal Hightower is coming in, and we're starting our spring revival. And we have the revival flyers out on the back table. I think there's some in the track rack, so you want to make sure you pick some of these up and put them around your workplace or pass them out, give them to whoever you like. Invite them to come, because you invite them to come, you're also earning points for your Sunday school class, all right, for this this month. We're in the Sunday school campaign, and so wanting you to try to do all that you can to invite people to come to church. Show up yourself. If you bring a first-time visitor, that's a grand slam home run. And so want to encourage you to take part of that. But encourage others to come to the revival, and the best way of doing that is to plan on being here yourself. Every night after the evening services, there'll be refreshments for us to just to stay around a little bit and have some fellowship. And so that's every night after the evening service for the revival. And then a message from Donna Minton. Several nursery workers are needed for Monday and Tuesday nights of the revival this next week. So if you can help, please sign up on the nursery bulletin board or see Donna Minton. And that would be greatly appreciated if you would be willing to do that. All right, this time let's go ahead and receive the offering tonight. Brother Ron, won't you come?
Ushers, if you'll come forward, please. Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and God, we're thankful for another opportunity, Lord, that we have to be in your house tonight, another opportunity, God, that we have to hear and study your word. And Lord, just pray that you'd once again use Pastor to bring honor and glory to your name. Give him the message, God, that we need, and help us to hearken to it. Help us to draw closer to you. Most of all, help us to better serve you this week. As we're once again, Lord, ready to receive the offering, we just want to continue to ask you to give us of your wisdom to use these funds to further your gospel. Pray and ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prayer sheets out at this time. If you didn't receive a prayer sheet when you came in tonight, and if you'd like to have one, if you just raise your hand, the ushers will bring those around to you. And so make sure you keep your hand up till they find you there. As they're passing those out, maybe someone has a praise for answered prayer, especially if you've had a prayer request on the prayer sheet. God's answered that prayer. It's always good to give him praise for it. So if you have a praise for answered prayer, we'll give you a chance to share that. Anyone like that? All right, we have one to add to the prayer sheet tonight, and on the health list, Karen Parker. Karen Parker. Let me lead you in prayer over this prayer sheet, and let me encourage you to take it home with you tonight. Put it somewhere around the house where it will be a reminder for you to pray over the needs one of another. But this is one of the reasons we have a midweek service, so that we can meet together as a church family and just go to the Lord and pray for God's will to be done in each and every one of these requests. And so as a church family, let's bow before the Lord. Let's unite in our desire to see God work in the lives of our church family. Our Heavenly Father, as we do come before you tonight, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for first of all loving us. We thank you that you've planted us here in this church. And thank you, Lord God, for a church family, knowing that we do have a desire to see you work in the lives of each and every one of our church members. And then Lord, even for some that we'll be praying for that we might not even know, but we know that they're somehow connected to a church member, and we want to help bear one another's burdens, and we can do that through just prayer. And tonight, Father, we unite in our desire to see your will done in each one of these requests. We pray for these on the health list. As far as we know, each one is suffering from some type of a physical infirmity yet tonight. And God, you know what's taking place in each one of their lives, and we pray first and foremost that through this that you would draw them closer to you. And then, Father, for those that would look to you and give you praise, honor, and glory for healing, that you would put a healing hand upon them and lift them up to the place that they'll be able to accomplish all that you have for them to accomplish in this life. I pray, Father, for the salvation list. As far as we know, each one that's listed here is lost and on their way to a devil's hell yet tonight. And we pray, God, for each one that they would have an opportunity to be saved before it's eternally too late. And as we pray for them, if there's someone on this list that we might have the opportunity to go to personally and talk to, I pray that you would prick our hearts and encourage us to do just that and possibly be the one that you would use and work through to see these come to know Christ as our Savior. I thank you, Father, for every member of this Lighthouse Baptist Church family. And I pray, God, that you'd put a protective hand upon each one of us, deliver us all from any kind of satanic harm, and lead us in the paths of righteousness. I pray for the officers and the church leaders that you'd put a hedge about them and, God, strengthen them. And I pray that you would use their testimonies to help lead the church in the direction that you have us to go. And I pray for every visitor that might come through the doors of this church, that, God, that whether it be for one visit or for many, that they would find this to be a place of refuge, and you would speak to them concerning their spiritual need as well. Then, Father, we pray for, Lord, our missionaries. We do thank you, Lord, for missionaries and missionary projects that we're partnering with to be able to obey the Great Commission and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for a membership that has a desire to do the will of God and that faithfully pray and give to Faith Promise missions, enabling us to do what we do as a church family. And then, Father, I pray for the special and the unspoken request tonight. And there's many needs listed here, and you know what's going on in each one. And, Lord, I pray for each one that they would have their faith increased so that they might be able, through faith, to look to you and find that grace to help in their time of need. Now, continue to meet with us tonight. Bless throughout the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our missionary letter tonight is from the Ashleys, our missionaries to Puerto Rico. It says, "Dear praying friends, God has continued to bless us with visitors. Juan Carlos is one of those who has been more faithful, and we praise the Lord for that. This past month, we have had another family begin attending faithfully on Sundays. Please pray for Diego and Petra with their youngest daughter, Viviana, and her two daughters, Adriana and Tatiana. My prayer is that God would give us more families through the summer as we begin our campaign of passing out the church flyers in the neighboring communities. The campaign will be for a limited time, just 3 months during the summer. It will include opportunities for the church members to witness to the lost and to witness God's provision. My prayer is that the church will grow numerically, but also spiritually as they get busy serving God here in Manati. Our continued petitions are that those who have come will stay, grow, and reach others. We do pray that more will be reached with the gospel. Please pray that the summer campaign will excite the believers to witnessing and reaching other families. Also, we ask for prayers for the repairs of our church building on our house and on our house that will be resolved so we can put more focus on growth. Your missionaries to Puerto Rico, the Ashleys."
150 in your songbooks, 150. My faith has found a resting place. If you stand, we'll sing that together. Page 150.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor greed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Shake hands with those around this evening if you would, as the instruments play. Your seat, we'll sing that last verse. My great physician heals the sick. Sing it with me on that last.
My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Through where
Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Praise the Lord for that. Just a blessing to be in church. Every opportunity we have, what a blessing it is to be able to come. Matthew chapter 3. Wednesday nights we've been going through and studying and preaching on the life of John the Baptist. The life of John the Baptist. I trust that you've already realized there's much more to the life of John the Baptist than what you might have realized. And I'm finding that true myself, as this is the first time I've actually went through and taught on the life of John the Baptist. I've preached many messages concerning John and some of the things that he presented, but it's the first time that I've actually just started from the very beginning and where the Bible reveals things about John the Baptist. And that's what we did. Started to look at what Jesus said about John the Baptist. That's what's most important, is what he revealed. And then we went back and to see that it was in prophecy. John the Baptist was prophesied, would be the forerunner, the one coming before Christ. And then his ministry started with his family, with his mother and father. The Bible reveals much about his mother and father and how that the angel came and told them that they would have this son. And told him exactly how to raise this boy and how to prepare him to fulfill the will of God. And as we study that, we know that's the Bible does that for every parent. The Bible reveals that every child is a life that God wants to work through. And the children are a heritage of the Lord. And your child's life begins with you. Their future will begin with you and how you instruct them and how you raise them and the nurture and admonition. So there's so much there. We've studied all that. Then we started looking at the ministry of John the Baptist. And likewise, he did not come on the scene until he was around 30 years of age. And John the Baptist's ministry, public ministry, was only for 6 months to a year. Impacted this world like no one else except for Christ, and preparing the world for Christ, but yet His public ministry was very brief, and yet God empowered him and prepared him for that for 30 years. And so there's been many things we've studied here. Here in Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to be actually preaching verse 5 down to verse 10, but just to get it all in, we'll start with verse 1 once again and read verse 1 down to verse 10. So go ahead and stand with me. John was the first to usher in the New Testament church age. Things would have been changed during this time. There had been 400 silent years. And the first we hear is John coming out of to the wilderness, preaching repentance and baptizing. And he came preaching repentance and baptizing. The two main things about the life of John the Baptist, preaching and baptizing. I think there's two main things that we as Baptists do. We preach, amen, and we baptize. We reach the lost, bring them in. Get them baptized, disciple them, to send them out, to bring them in, to build them up, to send them out, to bring them in, and we continue to do that. I think that's what the church is here to do, continue to do that. That's the main thing, reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so John came preaching repentance and baptizing. Let's look here at chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Pray that you'd meet with us and bless in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So John came preaching repentance and baptizing. And last week we asked the question, where did baptism come from? Where did the act of baptism, taking and thrusting a body under the water and then bringing it back up? There's nothing in the Old Testament concerning that type of procedure. There was nothing in the law. There was nothing presented. It was it came with John the Baptist. And, of course, that's why John was eventually called John the Baptist, is because he baptized believers. He baptized those who, in his baptism, rather, he was baptizing those who were willing to repent of their thinking and take on the thinking of God, the right thinking. And so he was, where did it come from? We asked that question, and the answer was found in John chapter 1, where he said he was instructed and sent by God. God prepared John. He prepared him. He told him exactly what messages to preach. And then he prepared him to baptize those who would repent of their sins and would be willing to take on the thoughts and the mind of God. Part of God's revelation for this church age, part of what Jesus Christ presented was the baptism of those who have received him as their personal Lord and Savior. And so as we studied that, in the New Testament, there's actually three water baptisms. There's the baptism of the repenter. That's the baptism of John the Baptist. And that was to prepare them and for the coming of Christ, who when they would receive, then would be baptized, not only of the Spirit, but the water baptism would follow the believer and identifying with Jesus Christ. And so there was the baptism of the repenter. That's what was John's baptism. Then the baptism of the Redeemer. Jesus came, walked 60 miles just to be baptized of John the Baptist in the Jordan River. He wanted to show the importance of that. And then he was able to present himself and what he was going to be doing by going to the cross, and there he would be suffered. He would suffer the crucifixion of the cross, be buried, and the next, after 3 days and three nights, be resurrected from the grave. And that's what baptism pictures. And so there was a baptism of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, we find there was a baptism of the redeemed. Once Jesus presented himself as a Messiah, he presented himself as the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Then when they would receive him as Savior, from that point forward, you see, once they would receive Jesus as Savior, and John led them to understand that he was the only Savior. He was the only way to heaven. And so his water baptism helped them to realize that I had to repent of my thinking and start focusing on the Savior, Jesus Christ. Then Jesus came, the baptism of water of Jesus, to give us the mode of baptism, to give us an example for the New Testament church age. And then from that point forward, then the baptism was the baptism of the redeemed. Okay, and that is carried on by every true biblical church throughout this church age until the rapture of the church. Go out, the Great Commission, go out, teach them about salvation through Jesus Christ. Bring them into the church, get them baptized, and then disciple them through the church. That is this New Testament church age. That's exactly what we are to continue to do until Christ calls the church up in the rapture. Well, so we have those three baptisms. Now, as we look here in chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem, to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." So they are confessing their sins, and he is helping them to understand the reason for this water baptism, which would have been foreign to everyone at this time. They didn't know where this was coming from. And so he would explain to them, no doubt, exactly what it was and what it would represent. And then we find, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth," and this is something that he would have expected of all of those that would come for this baptism, "bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Now, today, before we baptize anyone, what we will do is we will examine their testimony of salvation. We examine their testimony about salvation by saying, "Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you realize that your salvation is not based upon this baptism? Do you understand that the only thing that's going to get you to heaven is your faith and trust in Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world? Putting your faith in Him and receiving the gift of everlasting life. Salvation cannot be purchased. Salvation cannot be earned. Salvation is a gift from God." Amen. And that's Bible doctrine. That is exactly what Jesus Christ Himself taught. That's what the Bible teaches, that salvation is the gift of God. So before someone can have biblical baptism, then we need to help them and examine their testimony of salvation. And we do that by simply asking them questions. We ask questions and then instruct them on biblical baptism. We do it for two main reasons. First, to make sure of a proper candidate. In a true biblical church, you want people to understand salvation is only through the blood of Christ. And so you don't want to baptize people and give them the wrong idea that that is part of their salvation. You don't want to feed a false teaching. You want to make sure of a proper candidate. So you have to evaluate them. Now, we can't judge a person's heart. We can't judge, but we can make sure that they know that if you're saved, it's because you've done one thing, what the Bible says a person must do to be saved. We always make sure of that. Always make sure. Why? Because it has to be a proper candidate in order to have biblical baptism. And so we do that. And then to make sure that they know what they are doing, we instruct them on what baptism does. This is symbolic of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It allows you to identify with your Savior. As you go under the water of baptism, that allows you to identify with his death and his burial. As you come up out of the water of baptism, it allows you to identify with his resurrection. I will instruct them in those things right before we bring them out to baptize them before the church congregation. Now, if we understood that is a very important part before baptism, we look at John's baptism. John's baptism was the baptism of repentance. And so in order for him to have a proper baptism of repentance, he would have gone over and instructed them as well. He would have asked them to show fruit of repentance. How do you know that you're a proper candidate for this baptism of repentance? Do you understand what I'm getting ready to do with you by taking you and plunging your body under the water? They were normal people like we are in the Bible days. Amen? Somebody brings something new and they say, baptism? What is that? You want to take me and put me under this water? I have to be submersed in this water and then you're going to bring me back up? Where did that come from? I guarantee you that that question was asked many a times. And when they come to John, they would hear him preach, and what he was preaching was salvation through Jesus Christ. He was preaching the Messiah. He was preaching New Testament doctrine. He was paving the way for Christ to establish his church. So we know all these things were taking place, but before the baptism, there was no doubt that he would have asked them and making sure of those two things as well. Make sure that they're a proper candidate. You have repented. You have understood what I preached and you believe that. And you understand what you need to change in your life. And so you have that repentance. And then he would have possibly said, all right, now what kind of fruit are you to show once you have gone through this baptism? What kind of changes are going to come over your life? A lot of different things like that. Again, this was not Redeemer's baptism. This was a baptism of the repentant. The repenter's baptism. And it was to prepare them for looking to Jesus Christ, receiving him as Savior, and then the baptism of the redeemed that's already been saved. Amen. So we find this is what's taking place in John's ministry as he is preaching the gospel. He is preaching everything that God has instructed him to preach concerning the coming of Christ, making his path straight, helping people to understand exactly what he's coming to do. And then after that, he was instructed to baptize them. So he is explaining this idea of baptism and what this would be, what this would mean to them. And so John's baptism was for the repentant. If that is true, and we know that's what the Bible says it is, he would make sure that they understood what they were repenting from. And what fruit would follow? Again, we find that John's baptism was preparing them to live a Christ-like life, even before they knew Christ. That he was preparing them for Christ. And that's what he would make his path straight. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And so if you would, and we'll do this tonight, but as we study some of the messages, the message that he revealed to these four different groups concerning fruit of repentance. And if you see what the fruit of repentance would have been meant to each one of these groups, and it would be identical to what Jesus Christ himself would teach. It would be identical to Christ's likeness and how he would live his life. It would be identical to what he taught on the Sermon on the Mount, on the Beatitudes. It would be identical to everything that he would teach concerning Christianity. The same messages. John was preaching the messages before Christ would preach the message. And today, the New Testament church continues to preach the message that Jesus preached. So John was before Christ, we come after Christ, and John pointed people to come the coming of Christ, and we point people back to his coming. back to his life, back to his teachings. That's what we have. That's what we have. So John's baptism was preparing them to live a Christ-like life, and that's the same message that was established and taught by Jesus Christ himself. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 10, records John addressing the religious crowd, the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, we've already read this, but I want to take you now to Luke in chapter 3. Praise the Lord that we have the four Gospels. And they each give us a little bit more insight into every event in the life of Christ. In Luke in chapter 3, as John does this and Matthew's recording reveals that he is addressing the religious crowd, Luke reveals that not only does he address the religious crowd, but there's four groups of people. And every group of people that he addresses, he reveals to them what the fruit of repentance would mean to them. Did you follow me there? Amen. I know it's been a long day, a long week, probably hard telling what many of you have worked so hard, you're about ready to go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. Amen. You made it here to church. Praise the Lord. This is an exciting study in the life of John the Baptist. There's a whole lot here. I want you to plug into it because it will help you to understand your faith. It'll help you to understand that what we are teaching and preaching today is truth. And we can see it before Christ, in the life of Christ, and after Christ. And mainly on this idea of baptism. If you just get a hold of believer's baptism, that will separate you from most of all of the false religions today. It'll separate you from the cults of the day. Amen? If people would just understand biblical baptism, Redeemer's baptism, believer's baptism, that would help so many in this world. So, and it's right there in front of us. I mean, it is revealed very clearly, and I trust that you are getting this from this study of the life of John the Baptist. So, first of all, we find here the religious crowd. The religious crowd that Matthew reveals there, and John calls them generation of vipers. Amen. I don't think John was worried about offending people. Amen. If the Word of God offends you, so be it. Now, I don't think we ought to look to offend people. You don't help people by offending them. Amen. That's not what our call in the ministry is. That's not what we're setting out to do. We love people. We want to help people. But if the Word of God, which is preached, if that offends you on what the Bible says, I can't do anything about that. I'm not sorry for that. Because if it's the Word of God, it's what you need. If you are offended because your thinking is different, then so be it. Be offended. Change your thinking and start thinking the way that God would have us to think. Amen. We're not going to change the doctrine of the church because people are offended. No matter how weird our society becomes, what we're preaching today is what we've always preached. It's what every doctrinal ministry has taught throughout the centuries, dating all the way back to Christ. It's just the Word of God. But because the world has changed so much, and the world has adopted all these different philosophies, then it looks like that we are so far away from reality. And reality is what it's always been. Sin is sin. It's not that we're preaching some strange doctrine or something different. We've not moved. It's the darkness of the world that makes it seem strange. Well, Luke in chapter 3. Luke in chapter 3. So, how does Luke present how he addressed this religious crowd? Look there in verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers. I'm pretty sure he used those words. Amen. Now, Matthew reveals that he is addressing this religious crowd with those words. generation of vipers were addressing the religious crowd, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who had come not really to learn, not really because they had a desire to know more about God, a desire to understand the scriptures. They come because they were spying out what this man was teaching. They came to find out what he was saying so that they could take it back and report on what was going on to their religious leaders of the day. And we find here that John understood with the inside of the Holy Spirit of God. He addresses that crowd and he says, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance." I want to see, before I baptize you, I want to know that you understand repentance and what you are going to repent from and what you are going to turn to. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. Realizing that I have wrong thinking and want to have corrected and have right thinking. Repentance. So he calls them, understanding them, he calls them a generation of vipers. A venomous, poisonous snake. Their teachings were that of poison. And their character was that like a serpent. Like Satan himself. More like Satan than it was God. In that they were arrogant. They were self-righteous. The Jews had become arrogant. The Jews and their doctrine, they had gotten so far away from what God had established for them to live by. They were arrogant, they were self-righteous, and they were hypocritical. Now, Jesus points that out to us. Look over to Matthew chapter 23. Generation of vipers. Can I tell you that Jesus used some of those very same words? Some of the very same phrases. He says much about the Pharisees and the scribes. Says much about those religious leaders. They'll say one thing and do another. In verse 6 it says in chapter 23, they love the uppermost rooms at the feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, rabbi, rabbi, or master. They want to be, they're so self-centered, they want to be lifted up as someone who is better than someone else. And he says, "Be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are brethren." Every one of us. We might have different positions and different responsibilities, but there's no one any better than anyone else. We're all sinners, saved the very same way. And he says to them, he says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your..." Can you imagine that? These generation of vipers becoming servants? "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." That's the teachings of Christ. That's Christianity. Look at verse 13. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven." Poison. Venomous poison. Shut up the kingdom of heaven. By your teaching, you're keeping people from understanding what Christianity is all about. By your example and your teachings, you are keeping people from actually doing what the Bible says they need to do to be saved, and they're putting their faith and trust in what you tell them. And you're telling them false things. You're not telling them the truth. And because you're not telling the truth, you're shutting up heaven from them. Now, John knew that. And so now you can understand why he would call them a generation of vipers. He didn't stop there.
He says, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in into heaven, wanting to, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. Neither are those who you're instructing in a wrong way. If they believe that they're going to get to heaven through the church, listen to me, they're not going to heaven. If they believe that they can work their way to heaven, they will never get to heaven. If they believe that they can purchase heaven by doing good things and giving to the church and whatever it might be, listen to me, they're not going to heaven. That's what the Bible says. That's what John was saying. That's what Christ is saying. And that is what the true church says today. But today, this idea of this religious crowd, they want to say, all roads lead to heaven. God's a loving God. He would not send anyone to a devil's hell. You can worship however you want to worship. And you can live however you want to live. That's nothing new. That's what John came preaching against. That's what Christ stood against. You generation of vipers. That's what, I'm just reading the Bible, amen. Just preaching what's there. Generation of vipers. He goes on. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte to follow you, to believe what you tell them to believe. And when he is made, look what it says, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Because now he is putting his faith in a religion that you have told him is going to get him to heaven. And it's going to be harder for him to truly look to Christ and be saved than it will be for you. Twofold. That's what he's talking about there. This man's not going to heaven if he's preaching false doctrine. And all of those proselytes, all those he can convince to follow him and believe what he's making them twofold. It's going to be harder to reach them. You go knocking on doors and trying to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. The hardest people to reach are those who say, I'm Catholic. That's what they say. And that's all they think they have to do. Because I say I'm Catholic, that's going to get me to heaven. I don't need to hear what you have to say. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Leave me alone. Because we were instructed not to listen to you. We were instructed that you're preaching a cult. Your cult. It makes them twofold, the child of hell. And that's just what the Bible says. That's right there, no doubt about it. It's exactly what Jesus taught. It's what John was teaching when he said, you generation of vipers. So-called religion that teaches opposite the Word of God is poison. No matter if they connect Christian to it, and that's what's going to happen, that's what is starting to happen more and more. Well, this is a Christian-based religion. Jehovah's Witness claim to be a Christian-based religion. And they do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not believe in the Bible being the Word of God. So many others out there, Christian-based, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, so many that claim to be Christian, and yet they're teaching opposite the Bible, and John came claiming them, you're a generation of vipers, you have poison, and you're keeping people from hearing the truth. Right after John, Jesus came, said the very same thing. And he instructs the church to say the very same thing. Those that teach opposite the Word of God, those that support alcohol, is poison. Those that are supporting gambling, is poison. Those that are supporting homosexuality, homosexual behavior, where have we come from? I mean, Where are we going with this? How far are we going to go before somebody, before the world even opens up their eyes and says, is there no end to this? It's poison. Those that associate and encourage worldly associations, bringing the world into the church, poison. That's who he's addressing. The first group that he addresses is this, the religious crowd, this religious crowd that are teaching false doctrine, and yet they're claiming, we're the children of Abraham. That's all I need to know. I'm a child of Abraham's. I am guaranteed heaven. No, you're not. If you are not producing the fruit of a Christian, that tree is going to be cut down. It's going to be burned. He's coming to say, just because you call yourselves Jews, just because you look to your descendants of Abraham, is not a guarantee that you're going to go to heaven. God is revealing through his word what you must do to be saved. So are you repentant? Do you believe what I've been preaching? That's what he's asking. Do you believe what I've been preaching? Show me some fruits of that. That baptizing the repentant. Fruits worthy of repentance. Show me some fruits worthy of repentance. Luke chapter 3 and verse 8. That's what he says there. Go back there with me. Luke chapter 3. Everyone good with this? You following? It's right here. John preaches it. Jesus preaches it. The church of Jesus Christ ought to be preaching it. And ought to continue to preach it until the rapture of the church. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. I want to see that you understand what you're getting ready to go through in this baptism, water baptism of repentance. Because it's preparing you for the coming of Christ. It's preparing you to trust in Jesus Christ. And then after you trust in Jesus Christ, you have to then be baptized as a believer. All that John baptized had to be baptized after Christ. Check it out in the book of Acts. You'll find over and over again. All I know is the baptism of John. Well, let me instruct you in the scriptures so that you can have the baptism of Christ. So now that you believe in Jesus Christ, you understand it. Now you can have the water baptism of the redeemed. And that is carried on and continues to be carried on through this New Testament church age. So he says to them, before he would baptize them, he says, let me see fruits. What fruit would he need to see from the generation of vipers? He tells them. Look right there. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. You're missing it if you think you're going to get saved by just being connected to descendants to Abraham. You're missing it if you're putting your faith in what you believe in anything other than the Bible. You're putting your faith in what the religious leaders have taught you. You're putting your faith in what man says. You're putting your faith in what the generation that you're raised in believes. The religious generation of our day, many have put their faith in, well, the majority of religious people believe this. Is that really what you want to risk your eternal life on? So he says, repentance I want to see is that you don't say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able to these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is honed down and cast into the fire. So we find here that let's see some fruits like separation from the world. I'd see some fruits like humbling yourself before the hand of an almighty God. Let's see some fruits of you submitting yourself to what God says instead of what the religious say. As far as we know, they were not baptized. Look, if you look Luke in chapter 7, look a few chapters over, and this is why we believe that, because that's what the Bible says. Luke chapter 7, verse 29, verse 30. The Bible says, and the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of John. So this is what John told them. If you're going to be baptized, then this is what you have to do, is change your thinking. Just because you're a descendant of Abraham, just because you're a Jew, does not mean that you're going to go to heaven. Change your thinking, some fruit, to show that there has been a repentance. And the Pharisees said, we'll not do that. We are confident in what we teach and where we stand. And Jesus came calling them, coming after that, saying, you generation of vipers. You never changed. You never repented. You're still producing poison. And you're still keeping people from getting to the truth. Generation of vipers. Well, the next group, real quickly here, the rest of it goes pretty quick. He spent more time dealing with this religious crowd, because I believe they are doing more damage than any other crowd. Because they're convincing people that you can live however you want to live and still go to heaven. They're convincing people that this is all right. In our generation, our day and time, then the morality and this whatever, it's all right. Go ahead and do it. If you want to drink, you want to drink alcohol, if you want to gamble, if you want to check out your sexuality, if you want to go and do whatever, then as long as you continue to tithe to the church, as long as you come to a service every now and then, it's going to be all right. Grace will cover it all. Generation of vipers. That is not the word of God. Well, the next group, real quick, go back there with me. Luke chapter 3. And then the Bible says in verse 10 and 11, and the people asked him. Now, this would be the common people. Just the common, ordinary people, not associated with the religious, not associated with the publicans, not associated with the soldiers. This is just the common people. This is most of the people. And the Bible says, and the people ask him, saying, what shall we do? This is what you expect from the religious crowd. What should we do as fruits of repentance? And he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. So the common thinking of the common people would have been selfishness. I'm going to make sure that me, mine, and ours are taken care of. I'm going to make sure that I'm taking care of number one. If you don't take care of yourself, no one else is going to. You better make sure that you put yourself first. Is that not the common thought? He said, that's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. For the common people, he's telling them the fruits of repentance is start thinking of others. Start thinking about helping others. Isn't that what Christ came to do? Came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to set himself up on this earth. He didn't come for others to serve him. He didn't tell his disciples to set yourself up so everyone serves you. Told them just the opposite. So the common people, the fruit of repentance is a change of mind. and to stop thinking like the world and start thinking like a Christian should think. Others. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. What John was teaching is exactly what Jesus came preaching and teaching on how to live the Christian life. Jesus was teaching the common people the Beatitudes. Jesus was teaching the common people the Sermon on the Mount. What a great, we went through and taught the Sermon on the Mount and took some time in doing that. What a great, great lessons for Christianity. That's what Christianity is all about. Matthew chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 41 though. Because this is foreign to a lot of people. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And you're saying, wow, that's opposite what the common man says and thinks. That's what it's all about. Have the mind of Christ. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Follow me. Follow what I'm teaching. Follow Christ, is what he's saying. So fruit, start thinking of others. When you get saved, something changes within. The Spirit of God comes to dwell, and the Spirit of God is going to start trying to give you a heart for others. Replacing that old hard, selfish, arrogant heart with one of, Christ, I can't believe what you did for me. I'm so undeserving. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for providing. Lord, help me to produce fruit and do it for others. Help me to produce fruit that shows that I've had a change of mind now. Help me to produce fruit so that I might forgive others. Help me to start producing fruit that I might start looking to help others. Help me to produce fruit that reveals my repentance. That's what John was doing. That's what John was doing before Christ came. He was preparing them for Christ. The common people. The next would be the publicans, tax collectors. Luke in chapter 3. It's going fast. Look at verse 12 and 13. He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him... the next group. Then came also the publicans. Now you had the religious leaders, he addressed them first. Then you had the common people, before he was baptizing them, he said, this is a fruit of repentance. And they said, yes, I believe that. I want to start. That's what I want to desire to do. And baptize them. The next group. Then came also the publicans to be baptized. And said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Now the publicans, who were they? They were the traitors. They were those Jews that now are working for the Roman government. And because they are working for the Roman government has given them authority to go out and collect taxes. So now they have authority. They're Roman. I mean, they're Jews. They know exactly where they hide their money. They know exactly what they're making. They know exactly what they have. They can't hide anything from them. And now they have the authority of the Roman government to come and collect whatever taxes they want to collect. And many of them were very dishonest. Because they knew that they had the authority and that they had authority over the other Jews. They could tell them, you owe whatever I tell you you owe. And you will pay, or I will turn you into the Roman government and you will have your children taken away from you and you will be put in prison. And so the Jews hated the tax collectors, the publicans, because they were taking advantage of them. And they were working for the Roman government. But they come to John's baptism. And they hear John preach. And they say, what kind of fruit do we need to produce? So their common way of life would have been collect more than they owed, than was owed. Because whatever they collected over what they had to pay the Roman government, they got to pocket. And so these tax collectors, these publicans, were very wealthy because they were preying on the Jews. So what do we have to do? And he said to them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Start being honest. Wow. What a noble thought. If you want to truly live as Christ wants you to live, you haven't been doing that because you've been dishonest. Show meat fruit for repentance. A change of mind is understanding that it's wrong to be dishonest and start being honest. He's preparing them for exactly what Jesus would tell them. He's preparing them for the New Testament Christianity. It's what we preach today. Amen? If you're going to be a Christ-like, you had better be honest. If you're going to be Christ-like, you better stop stealing. That's what he did. So, we're willing to do that. We're going to be honest. Let me baptize you. Baptism of repentance. You've repented. Now go live that way. Amen. The final group, Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers came. We want to get in on this. I've heard you preach. When you preach, something spoke to my heart. When you preach, my heart was convicted. When you preach, something told me that what you were saying was true. What do I need to do for this baptism of repentance? And the soldiers likewise demanded of him or saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, now listen to me. What would be the tendency for these soldiers that have, these would have been the athletes of the day. These would have been those, they prepared them, the soldiers, from childhood. From childhood. They started preparing them to know how to fight. They started preparing them to eat right and exercise so that they might be the most fit of all the people. These were the choice ones that they would allow to be represent the Roman government. They would be the soldiers, and they would, that was their career. That's what they were prepared to do. Their whole lives, they were taught how to fight. They were taught how to take commands. They were boot camped the whole time. And so they would have a tendency as soldiers to be violent. They would have a tendency to maybe unnecessarily be brutal. The brutality of their positions. They also would be in a position where they could be bought off. I'm a soldier, just like a police officer. I can arrest you. I can give you a ticket, and it's going to cost you a lot of money. And there's some out there that will take advantage of their positions and take a bribe to turn their heads a different direction. Let them get by with it. You pay me off, I'll make sure that you have protection. You pay me off, I'll make sure that no one else messes with you. You pay me. They were in that position. That would have been the common sin for that lifestyle of a soldier. John knew that. They came to him and said, all right, what are we to do? What shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. They would justify taking bribes. Well, we don't make enough money anyway. They don't pay us what they ought to pay us. They don't pay us to put our lives on the line. I can justify doing what I'm doing. You go to other countries and you'll find the most corrupt people there are the officers. And you have to, you know, they're looking for you. They're going to arrest you and they'll pull you over for no reason at all, especially if you're a gringo. And they'll try to get whatever you'll give them, whatever they can pressure you into giving them. Common to their lifestyle. And he says, don't be violent. Don't take bribes. Learn to be content with your wages. Does that sound like the teachings of Christ as well? Is that not what the Bible teaches you and I to live, how to live? When it comes down to it, what John is teaching them was to live differently than those who do not believe. You see how you ought to believe now? You know what you need to change? Baptized. You, come over here. You, tax collector. You know what's wrong. You know your thinking's wrong. You know what needs to be changed. You're repentant of that. You know what you need to do now? Baptized. Everyone, whatever it was, John says, you know what, how you've been living. You know what you need to change. Repentance, and now you have a change of mind. Let me baptize you now. Go out and live that way. Live a different life, different from the world. And that was all preparing people to hear the teachings of the Messiah, to hear what Jesus Christ established in his New Testament church and instructed that his preachers preach the very same thing. Throughout this New Testament church age, no matter how long it goes. Closing, Titus chapter 2. With all that in mind, I think you'll better learn to appreciate what Paul wrote to Titus concerning the church, believers through this church age. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God's not willing that any should perish. All men will have this opportunity to confess with their mouth that I'm a sinner, believe in the heart that Christ died for them, and receive that gift of eternal life. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, you have to deny it, and worldly lusts, they're going to be present, going to be common in the world that we live in. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Prepare us to be different from the world. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no man despise you as you teach these truths. Fruit. Change of life. Change of thinking that leads to a change of the way I live. Focus more on Christianity, true Christianity, what the Bible says. John the Baptist, the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. What great teachings that John did. The messages that he preached would be the very same messages that Christ would preach and the very same messages that the church of Jesus Christ, the true church, ought to continue to preach throughout this church age. The only way we can be the light of the world and the salt of the earth is to live differently than those who do not believe. Is there fruit? is their fruit. It's a changed mind that leads to a changed life. I'm not going to give a musical invitation, very seldom do on Wednesday nights, but there's always an invitation. If God spoke to you tonight, you need to come for whatever reason, for prayer, for just a commitment, whatever it might be, you're welcome to come to the altar. If you want to just focus on whatever God spoke to you about where you're at in your pew, do that. Make that mental note of the fruit that God wants to see in your life. What needs to change? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church tonight. Pray that you'd help us all to receive it, make whatever applications necessary. Prepare our hearts for the services, Lord, for this weekend. Looking forward to the revival services. Pray that you would anoint Brother Howe. And Lord, even now, start giving him these messages that you want to work through him to be able to present to your church. That would be a help and a blessing to each and everyone that comes. Pray that you'd help us to prepare to receive what you have for us throughout this revival. In Jesus' name.